Top of the day to you, Roberto.
Good morning, Jack.
How last are you game of ping pong in the play space, 2005, eh?
It sure is for me. You've got one more to go.
True. Too true.
You've got one more to go. Yourself.
And top of the day to all the brethren and sistren out there loving it up in the play space on a funky, freaky Friday on 102.3.
How you all doing out there?
Your trusty community camel.
Yeah.
You're rolling it into your liberty.
Plodding along through the... through our Bactrian sands.
Oh, yes, in amongst the rigmarole, folderole and hyperbole.
Absolutely.
Of recent weeks, a build-up to Christmas is something to see, isn't it, eh? Major distraction in our sunburnt, fire-prone country. It's about to go up like a torch in some areas. It's
Absolutely.
All that winter rain's just put a bit of fuel under it.
Just like to remind each and every one of you out there that...
Yes, a gentle reminder.
As we speak today, it is a total fire ban.
Yes. Right.
And total... means exactly what it sounds like it means. It doesn't mean little fires are okay. It doesn't mean moderate fires.
Yes, especially the recent acquaintances and visitors upon the Bundjalung country. Please be careful where you light your little campfires and drop your roaches and other combustibles.
Absolutely.
And
it's dry as bloody hell.
Are well tuned to this time of year and what it takes. And we wish you well through the silly season, and hopefully we'll get it away with it without a scorched bum.
Yes, and a big good morning and hello and thank you to all our rural firefighters out there that keep themselves prepared and
on
ready.
On call and on tap.
And on call, yeah. I mean, I'm one of them. I'm a slack one.
Yeah, Captain.
I mean, I'm a slack one, but there are some of them out
there's no need to be too and wound up until the red steer jumps in the Liberty, but be aware that the red steer can come quickly when she comes.
Absolutely, but there are a few of them out there, and I really do respect the fact that they're prepared to put almost all their time into being prepared, you know.
Well,
and just out there, just constantly giving a hand. Like, for example, last Sunday, I mean, I wasn't...
Well, this is it. It's not just being on call at this time. It's being trained well and prepared throughout the
year. I wasn't aware that it had come through, because we here in Nimbin were lucky enough to miss the Sunday afternoon storm.
Mm.
We got the Saturday storm. It was a damn fine piece of downpour, if I do say so myself.
It was welcome.
It was welcome. It rutted a few roads here and there, some of them at my place.
It was welcome.
But it was still welcome. And I still said, thank you, thank you, thank you. And the creeks sang. However, at the coast, and even more significantly in Casino on Sunday, mate, they got... On Saturday night it was, because the Friday night was at the downpour.
Fairfield Drive got pounded by cricket ball-sized hail.
Is that over at the coast?
No, that was in Casino.
That was in Casino, Fairfield Drive. Yes, okay, yes.
A whole lot of tile-roofed houses in Fairfield were suddenly detiled.
Yes, they did. In fact, a friend of mine, one of the guys from the Hanging Rock Brigade, went over there because he's also SES trained and has the ticket to get up on roofs.
The SES are probably still taking care of the details right at the
details. Yeah, sorting out the details. Yeah. Yes. But this guy, he was saying when he was over there, he came across a tile roof and it had not just the tile smashed us. It had punched a neat round hole straight through a tile without breaking the tile.
Just like
now, that gives you the idea of the sort of impact that this thing's happening.
Just like a depleted uranium round going just through a Russian tank, mate.
Yeah, so it went through the tile, it went through the isolation, insulation underneath, and he could see the damage and the puddle on top of the gyprock of the ceiling of the room. Now, it would have only taken a fraction bigger stone to have gone straight through the ceiling as well and clobbered whoever was standing underneath. And, mate, that's a big hailstone.
Look, you wouldn't want to be standing around underneath such a storm. These are supercells that actually push the hail down through a funnel of sorts, Roberto, from what I could gather.
Yes, that's right.
These things were going 15 centimetres into lawns.
Yeah, yeah. It sucked them up high enough to get them huge, and then it threw them. It didn't just let them drop.
The fella in question put a few in the freezer because he knew no one would believe it unless he could show them.
And yeah,
he had a platterful on the Northern Disaster front page.
They were very bloody big, weren't they? They were huge.
You couldn't dance around in them, mate.
No, not at all. All right, it's about 9 minutes past nine,
and
past nine.
We're rolling it to you in the play space here on 102.3, our favourite community radio station.
Absolutely, this is Bunjalung country here.
Supported by innumerable people.
Innumerable. Each and every one of them a gem.
In of and for our community mostly, which is its most blessed part.
Yeah. And as this is my last
sand pit. Yeah, you're going off to Woodford with the family, as you do on the annual picnic.
Yeah, up for the annual picnic.
Up there in the mini folk city.
Yes. It's not that bloody mini, mate. When it's up and running, it's probably the second biggest town in Queensland.
That's what I was saying. It's like a mini folk city.
Yeah, yeah.
It erupts on a hillside or three.
Apart from Bris Vegas, I don't think any other town gets... Oh, I guess there might be a couple of 100,000 towns up there. I don't know, Townsville and so forth. But, I mean, Woodford gets to 90 grand. That's like a couple of Lismores put together.
Yes, it's an awesome number of two
all in one man's paddock
down on the one spot.
Yeah, it's pretty good fun.
Yeah, it's a bit daunting for I must admit, Roberto.
Oh, mate.
Then I'm like the curmudgeon in the shadows behind your Christmas tree.
I know. You've got to have a curmudgeon in the shadows. Hey, speaking of curmudgeons,
I'm not the glittering prize.
I saw this wonderful little doco on the television during the week. Because the only thing I saw, I'd borrowed a friend's television to see it. I hadn't actually borrowed to see the particular thing, but I'd borrowed this TV to actually watch a DVD of Baraka again, and which was just such a magnificent bit of movie.
What was it? I was watching Quena Scotsi.
Yeah. Same maker.
Yes, and we were mentioning Baraka in passing while we were watching Power Scotsi and Quena Scotsi.
Right, okay. Yes.
Without acid this time.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Just for a change.
Yeah, just for a change.
Just for a change. Yeah. Anyway, so I tuned into a doco on... the true story of St. Nicholas
jawbone of the elephant was a very significant particle, wasn't it?
It was indeed, and it was the wrong jawbone.
Yes, it wasn't the St. Nikolai elephant in question.
No, it wasn't, but the funniest thing was how they had to get two experts
Experts, they're all over the planet,
Roberto. They had to get these experts to come and examine it because no one had ever actually tried to compare the two disparate remains of
Saint Nick. Funny about that.
And they discovered...
Superstition will carry you a long way until the facts run right slap bang into it, eh?
Yeah, well, there's not many people around with a jawbone that contains two left mandibles.
Yes. Oh, they thought they'd double their luck.
It was so simple. The guy just pulls it out and goes, oh, it's the wrong side.
But two rabbit's feet are better than one. You know that.
Yeah,
Roberto,
I know,
right?
That.
And two four-leaf clovers, man, you're in the money. You should go and back a horse immediately.
So I wasn't aware, until I watched this doc, I was not aware how important the tourist trade has been to industry and commerce for so much longer than we suspected. Because St. Nicholas, right, he grew up in Turkey, and just across the Bosporus from Greece.
Is that why they neck them and roast them and eat them around this time of year?
I think so.
That's a nice way of celebrating someone's life and time,
isn't it? Yeah, neck them, roast them, eat them. Because he was born in Turkey.
They really specialised that in certain eras of the Christian movement.
Yeah, they did.
Yeah. And neck them, roast them, and chuck them to the pigs.
Or the lions, or whatever else
you got. Eating better, they didn't need that.
Nick was an interesting character, and he was one of those people that lived in interesting times, I guess you could say.
Well, just like our good selves.
He started off life as basically an underground... Let's be honest, he started off life as the son of some very wealthy people.
He was a reactionary, Roberto?
No, he wasn't so much a reactionary, he was... I'm not quite sure how you'd put Nick. Both his parents died of the plague, as happened in those days, so he's a rich orphan, and he takes on Christianity, which is fine and good. He gets his reputation by actually handing out secretly three bags of gold to this guy who had three daughters. He couldn't pay the dowry. He was going to sell them into prostitution. Nick heard about it, and for three nights in a row he chucked a bag of gold through
bailed
his wife's window,
so to speak,
and bailed the three of them out. Yeah. And on the third night, the father snuck outside to see who'd done it, which is where Nick got his reputation, because he was actually trying to do it totally anonymously. Anyway.
So that no one could cast any aspersions.
And so he wouldn't end up with a queue at his front gate as well, too.
Yes.
You know? Anyway, so Nick's a Christian. He's a Christian leader in this little town, conducting secret underground services in caves, and the whole bit like you'd have to when you were in the Roman Empire at the time.
It's a hard road, isn't it?
And then, as luck would have it, as fate would put it down, Constantine emerges, the Holy Roman Emperor, the Christian Emperor.
Yes.
He retakes the whole empire, declares persecution of Christians not on, and Nicholas finds himself risen.
So he closes Operation Viking, calls in the death squads with their planks and long nails.
Does all that, and Nick finds himself elevated from leading surreptitious and nefarious underground services to being the archbishop of this town and having incredible political clout in Rome.
He fell very much on his feet, swinging on a rope.
Not really in Rome, but in Constantinople, which it was Emperor Constantine, the great Holy Roman Emperor, that retook the empire from the barbarians and made it the Christian Empire.
I've heard of him.
So there's... And Nick lived out his life as archbishop and died, and they grabbed his bone-old skeleton, whatever it was, and built a whole cathedral to house him in the little town in Turkey where he was from, and stuck his bones there, and all was well and good.
They like doing things like that in Europe, don't they?
They do indeed. Yeah, all was well and good. Now,
toenail of a saint.
Time passes.
Pubis of a nun. Correct me there. Yes.
The nuns have pubis. Anyway,
they donate them.
Of course.
Yeah.
So we move along to about the 14th century now, because Nick was first century BC. He was really quite recent, first, second, round there. Anyway, probably, but maybe even third century. You have to check up Constantine time. I'm not going to quibble about 100 years or so, but we're going forward to 1,000 years.
The Holy Roman Empire proceeds apace from about that moment on.
Yeah, it does. Okay,
oh, and we love it so. All in good faith.
All in good faith. So we move along now. A thousand years up the stream or down the stream.
Yep.
And to a little town in Italy.
Are we in the barbed wire canoe?
Oh, yes.
Okay.
Oh, yes. We're not actually in it, but we are going to employ the best barbed wire canoe the money can buy.
We're describing the journey up the creek.
Because what happens
is... proverbial.
In the 14th century, there's this little town called... Bali. It's not Bali, but it's a similar sort of name. It's in Italy. It's on the east coast of the Italian foot, just down near the heel. All right? And they've fallen on hard times. They get the city fathers together,
but
and
you
they
just can't scrape the shit right off your heels.
That's about it. They get the city fathers together and they think, what can we do to raise the economic prosperity of our city? The tourists aren't coming.
Yep.
The tourists aren't coming. And when I heard this, I thought, bugger me, tourism was important in the 14th century. And even international travel wasn't that good those days. And yet still,
yeah.
Religious tourists,
pilgrimages
were so important.
Yes.
Because what's happening? And they're saying, we need something to attract the tourists.
Did a novelty go well?
And one of the city fathers...
Fresh meat.
One of the city
fresh
fathers...
Fresh meat for mammon.
He says, well, look, Venice does real well out of the pilgrims because they've got the bones of that saint. They've got the saint, whatever his name was, Mark, John.
Plus ça change, plus la même chose.
Exactly.
Mm.
And so they thought, we have an idea. Let us hire ourselves a barbed wire canoe of pirates.
Yep.
Let us send them off to Turkey to nick.
Yep.
Pinch St. Nicholas and bring him back over here, and the tourists will come. And
he'd be a little earner.
He'll be a little earner.
Put him up in a corner.
Yeah.
Get a few guilders every month out of it.
That's exactly right.
Not a worry.
Because there's a nice little business happening in Turkey off Nick, because Nick's bones have a peculiarity. They exude manna. They exude this clear liquid that is collected out of the tomb. Okay, so off the pirates go. So they were flogging this manna to all the crusaders who were coming over to fight in the Holy Land. They'd all buy a bottle of manna on the way.
What, to polish their knobs and bits with?
I'm not sure what they did with the manna. They took it with them for...
Keep their armour bright.
Good holy luck, I suppose. I'm not really sure. I really am not sure what you did with a bottle of manna. Anyway, so these pirates, they go over to Turkey.
Army arteries.
Oh, you mean arteries. And they burst into the church, you know, and they crack...
As you do.
Crack open the tomb. And the head pirate pulls out the skull of St. Nicholas, and the skull is glowing golden, dripping with manna, and the pirate just falls to kissing it and revering it and praising the Lord and saying how...
An epiphany.
The entire pirate band have an epiphany and suddenly what? Become St. Nick's...
Didn't it smell?
No. It's they're saints' bones.
No, I was in the... All them pirates epiphanying around the cave there. You know?
It didn't smell, mate. It didn't smell. They used to that sort of stuff in those
just
days.
Just imagine all that time on the ship, they'd need to relieve themselves, you know.
14th century, mate.
But I might be mistaken.
It's okay. 14th century. We're used to that sort of stuff.
Yes.
It became pretty obvious by the state of the bones.
I thought, mate, might have been overcome by the fumes and sort of hallucinating a little, you know.
Possibly that too. It became obvious to not just the pirates who were all upon their knees and fawning upon the remains of St. Nick. But it became obvious to the priests in the church that Nicholas had decided he wouldn't mind a change, that he was welcoming these pirates to give him a bit of movement.
Yeah, so a few mates around the camp.
So the priests themselves...
Bones to chew on.
The priests themselves helped the pirates pack the bones up because it became obvious Nick wanted to move. He was very accepting of him.
Yep.
And so off he went to where he lays to this very day in a freshly built cathedral just for him, in this town in Italy. However, in the transfer process, rumours started to fly that some of the bones were dropped.
Uh-huh.
And so in this little town in Turkey, they have a little suitcase now. It's not a tomb, it's a little suitcase.
A few slips between the cup and the lid,
yeah.
Mate.
And you open the suitcase up, and on the backboard of the suitcase is a iconic resemblance of St. Nick.
Yep.
And in the suitcase there is one half of a jaw, a mandible, a single mandible, a piece of forearm. The mandible has a single tooth in it.
I saw the wrist bone or something. There's
there's a bit of wrist bone, a bit of jaw bone, and a bit of something else bone.
Yes.
And anyway.
Significant.
Significant. So they finally got some forensic archaeologists to look at these things and then to look at photos that had been taken of the... Because the real bones of St. Nick haven't been looked at since the 50s. They've been locked, they've been sealed up.
Oh,
but they were, in the 50s they did a very detailed photographic examination of them.
This is just the superstition protecting itself from the facts, Roberto.
Yes, sir.
It has a habit of doing that. It took us 50 years to read the contents of the Dead Sea Scroll
in
an open publication, for Christ's sake.
I'm still waiting for the publication of the Gospel according to Judas, which was discovered in the 50s and was supposed to have been finished, the English translation, by the end of this year.
Let alone Thomas and Mary Magdalene and old JC himself.
I would find it interesting to take to see Judas's take on the whole deal, because he's the guy that got the bad press.
Yeah, he did.
And yeah. I don't believe a word of it myself. I reckon that there was so much more went down.
He's a fool guy.
So totally, because he was actually Christ's most
good
stalwart
mate.
And good
he's
mate.
Good
yeah. mate. Yeah. And so the whole thing, I reckon he was just a patsy. So anyway, enough of St. Nick. Hey, he still exudes manna. And every Christmas, the Archbishop of this diocese...
bottles it and flogs it.
He crawls into this crawl hole in the tomb itself. Mm. And he comes out with this incredibly ornate little jar, little bottle, with about maybe an inch of clear liquid. Of course, the scientists say that the tomb's built a little bit below sea level. And it's just seepage through the water.
Of course, yes.
So then they stuck a little...
damn those rationalists.
21st century camera on a fibre optic thing through a tiniest hole down into the tomb to have a look at what's left in the tomb. And, of course, the genuine archaeologists are just going, this tomb has to be opened, those bones have to be preserved. The thing's flooded with water in there, like everything's buried in it.
Just while we're demolishing...
And I think to myself, what bother?
Just while we're demolishing mythology, I thought... intelligent design, Roberto. I've been thinking about that. And they've really thrown a bit of a wall up in America recently to sort of pull it back a bit. But I reckon it's obvious that if we are made in God's image, as those people would have us believe, that there's nothing intelligent about it. Because I cannot clean my ear with my finger.
Can't you?
No.
It doesn't get all the way in.
No. And I don't think that's very intelligent. Because you think about every other orifice, you can sort it out.
You're right, you know. But I can't get my finger very deep.
And,
I certainly
and you
can't
need
get
to clean your ears, as I found out.
You've actually got to use a tool.
I know, and a tool with a tool, like an accessory after the fact.
Yes, yes.
Which is sometimes very questionable.
I have problems with getting water stuck in mine.
I'm grateful for the assistance I've had in clearing my eardrums, but it did make me think that there is nothing intelligent about that design.
I've actually heard a few people come up with flaws in the human design
and
system.
Obviously God is deaf.
Obviously.
Yes.
He doesn't even think about
ears. He doesn't hear our petitions anymore.
We'll be back in just a minute. I've got a track here from, what's his name, Murray Kyle, our boy Murray.
Yeah, Fresh Musical Biscuits.
Was playing with the Blissmongers and now he's put his solo CD out and... the CD's called Signs of Life.
Light relief from the folderol and the rigmarole.
Yes.
And the
big thanks to Richard Bell for distributing this so generously over here at NMFM. I think we all got a copy.
He's a deadly fella, our Rich.
And Signs of Life. This is a little
got the good ear.
Little
got
track called ear. Anything 30%.
And the good oil. Here it comes.
Beyond light at the end of the tunnel doesn't greet my eye. If I never find a way to soar up into the sky, if I'm halfway through when it's time to quit, or I can't seem to make the puzzle fit, when I look beyond I will always realize that if nothing sprouts from the seeds I've sown, or if I find a block in the middle of the road, if I feel like I'm running on 30%, or I can't seem to find all the money I spent, well it's time to move beyond that, to just let go. For I know my spirit still will roam free, dwells in the time of eternity, lives beyond this body and beyond this mind. For I entered from an infinite space, and I was born from an infinite place. There I will reside when all this is gone.
Dear ones.
A bit sweet, wasn't it?
Yeah. Nice. Very sweet.
Very nice indeed. A bit of Murray Kyle there off his Signs of Life CD. It's exactly 9:30. You're listening to NIM FM 102.3.
That one.
That's the very one. Hey, mate, South America, what a fun time they're having over there.
A fourth rogue in the deck, eh?
Yeah, exactly.
They're not happy with the Norteamericanos.
Especially
under the Shrub administration.
One more, it's a full house.
And this is the first Indigenous leader that we know of born
in the Americas,
in country,
yeah.
And who's actually running the country, or has an opportunity to run the country.
Exactly.
That's pretty awesome.
Evo Morales in Bolivia.
Yeah, the only honest man in the house. Bolivia, as we know, is riven with cocaine corruption and DEA tomfoolery for the last 30 years.
Absolutely,
and,
absolutely.
Evo has a plan.
Evo Morales, former coca farmer, who's promised to torpedo U.S. anti-drug efforts and be a, and I quote this word, nightmare, unquote, to Washington. He's not poised to become Bolivia's first Indigenous president.
He is
the Bolivia's
incumbent.
Unless, of course, they can shoot him first.
Well, this is a known tactic in Bolivia over the last 50 years.
Yes, I mean, he absolutely trounced the opposition. At 80% count, he was 51% of the vote. His nearest rival, the U.S. educated and backed former president Yorga Tuto Quiroga, who's on 31%.
Yeah.
Wow.
One little ironic twist. In Bolivia, the DEA have a headquarters, and out front of that headquarters they have night watchmen, and those night watchmen chew coca leaf to stay awake for their duties. And this is part of the war on people that the war on drugs has become in Bolivia and elsewhere. You know, it's...
Yeah.
And Evo is trying to sort out the sheep from the wolves one time.
Yep.
And re-establish the true Bolivian culture and attitude towards cocaine, which is... It has its appropriate uses.
It does indeed. Thousands of Mr. Morales' supporters...
Even as a trading commodity.
celebrated in the capital and other cities chanting, Evo Presidente, Evo Presidente, as you would.
Yep.
Fireworks lit up La Paz and Cochabamba, where Mr. Morales, as representative of the growers of coca leaf, the raw ingredient in cocaine, rose to national prominence as their representative. He's vowed to decriminalise coca production.
Yeah, well, if he makes moves to make the lives of women, children, small furry creatures and innocent bystanders sacred again, and take the thorns out of the issue of criminalising a local product... and traditional medicine.
Yeah.
He might go somewhere towards being the right man on the right spot, but otherwise he could be just another ideologue, patriarchal tosser with great ideas and no empowerment to put them in place. So we'll watch
that, space.
We're actually very happy to see the vigour of South American politics at the moment.
And
setting a lot of good precedents around the world. From where we're sitting, it looks good to have an incumbent indigenous president, male or female, and we can only hope that this Aboriginal land that we're squatting on ends up in that
wouldn't that be
Roberto was saying off air, it's probably a long way in the future, and we're not holding our breath. We're just visioning
a
road less travelled.
Jack and I give ourselves license to dream.
As we do. You've got a license to dream too, and enable those dreams if you like. Go down to the Invasion Day celebration at the Tent Embassy, which is again on the wobbly line over the holiday period while everyone's
always
having a
is.
Gay old time on the gold key
is.
Card. There's all sorts of political and social ism schisms being pursued right as we speak. And the Tent Embassy will either be a cultural museum in a brick shithouse in the near future, or maybe maintain its integrity as a people's place, coordinated through the elders all over this country as a place to present unfinished business in an orderly manner with protocols that have been sustained for 30-odd years already. And anyway, to me, it's one of the more fascinating litmus papers that we have sitting in that little pit of because down there in Canberra. And some way of keeping the bastards honest is to keep those people alive and well and in situ, all in good spirit and good faith. And I don't want to talk out of turn, you know, Aunt Isabel and I believe her cousin Marion House have a lot to say about these issues. And I think all of us have an interest in the outcome. That's all I'll say. So watch that space over the holiday period. And if you feel inclined, or if you're going south, think about calling in and saying good day and showing respect on Invasion Day, the 26th of January. I'm sure the call will go out, as it has done in past years, for people with their priorities a little different than celebrating the material largesse around the barbecue area at the local camping ground that they pay exorbitant prices for and that the real people can't get near.
Absolutely.
They'd have the neighbourhood watch in for a start, you know.
For a start?
Yeah, in their VB Lager t-shirts with their batons and fence palings at hand. Anywho, have a lovely time out there, you lot, over the silly season. I hope you look after each other. The only way to deal with it is love and truth and keep it real. Keep it real.
Jack and I just got given a couple of new bickies this morning from some guys that call themselves the Grumpy Neighbour.
And we just have to pass it on.
The CD's called Sheep Manure, $2 a bag, bullshit for free.
Yep. That sounds like us, doesn't it?
Sounds like us. And they say that they're going to be up here about the middle of next year, so, and they figured, hey, it wouldn't do any harm to send
just
a couple of CDs to the station.
Crack the ice a little.
Crack the ice. And who knows, someone might even like listening
to it. And they put it in the hands of the best delivery man in the nation.
So I'm going to play you a track now. They say this has got a full-bodied sound, this one. It's called Land Grab, but it just seems to be the right sort
of theme. If it's fresh, if it sounds funky, we'll give it a wee turn.
Here we go.
For sure and certain.
Bit of a land grab here.
He woke up under the blazing sun. He woke up with his head ringing. Not a gun. He didn't know why, but he knew something was missing. With his jaw
and his tongue
and his cows
and his
and the dirt all around him. He's the lonesome cowboy. The number of his blazing sun. He had a six shooter in his hand. On his face he wore a frown. He's gonna make his final stand.
The blessed articles of the Nimbang Nation. It's You're in the play is. Space, the mighty, mighty play space on 102.3.
That was a little bit of Harry Manx there off his...
Wise and otherwise. Going out to the wise and otherwise.
That's exactly who it's going out to. The wise and the otherwise at about 17 minutes before
we're
the hour.
We're falling as we stand, standing as we fall and all that.
Falling and standing, standing and falling. Tripping over our own feet probably because we're a little
tripping?
Bit...
Tripping?
Tripping? Tripping, we should be so lucky.
Psilocybe commences. A little bit of light relief in the summertime.
Oh, what a glorious day here in the Nimbang Hills. It really is.
It's It's very warm in the Nimbung Hills.
It's one of those classic
hit the high
December
30s,
days.
Low 40s today in the afternoon.
Indeed.
So be prepared, you lot.
That's
make
in
sure
the,
your children are got plenty of liquidity that's and shade.
That's in the low to medium hundreds for those listening on the podcast who can't do their mathematical conversions.
Yes, to Fahrenheit to the Celsius.
Centigrade to Fahrenheit.
We're bilingual in the play spaces. We're never required.
It's pretty simple. You take the fraction 9 over 5 and you take the number 32 and you do a few funny things to the numbers with them and you end up being able
to
convert.
You're giving away all our secrets, Roberto.
Shit, sorry.
That's
Could
all
you just all please forget that?
That's
all right. I thought you'd all been vetted and you haven't.
All in good faith. This is the Christmas edition.
The Christmas edition. It is indeed. Hey,
I love the
I'd just like to
Christmas
say, yeah.
edition of our local Echo over in Byron Bay there. I mean, all cred to that, Mike.
All cred to that.
Yeah, too and, deadly. The Warhol rip-off was beautifully done.
Totally exquisite.
Yes, we loved it.
John's never looked better.
Yes, we only get about 2.5 copies in over here in the back blocks these days.
We
I don't
do
know what's
do.
Happened to the supply lines, but
yeah.
They don't like the Byron Bay Echo intruding into our Northern Rivers Echo department. It's one of those demarcation jobs. You know,
and while we're just on the Echo and Echoing, and I just noticed it yesterday in the Lismore Echo, and
yes,
I'm not quite sure how long this has been the situation, but I'd just like to issue a monstrous congratulation, absolutely gigantic, huge, well done to Terra.
Yes,
Terra Sword, our wonderful Terra Sword, who has migrated after 8 years on the team at the Lismore Echo, migrated from junior journalist to editor.
Yep.
Terra, you're a champion, darling.
Sister.
You are a champion, sister. Well done indeed.
Yep.
And I reckon the Lismore Echo is showing the change already.
And I bet they check their titles and battles. They wouldn't make a now into a not, would they?
No.
And they wouldn't go on about it, would they? They wouldn't use it as a flimsy excuse for bad behaviour either, would they?
I love that now to a not.
Wasn't that so subtle, Roberto?
Couldn't have been nicer.
So subtle. It went right past the sheep. They were watching the pre-Christmas sales.
For those of you who aren't quite sure what Jack and I are chortling about here, in the Treasury Department report of the
highfalutin deal, indeed,
of how the new
the
industrial
IR rearrangements
the
will
IR.
Affect you and I, good folk.
That's the one, you and I and I.
All us little people down the bottom end of the big changes that have been wrought in our big house in Canberra.
There was a single sentence in this report, which is not a report but a minute.
It's a bit ambivalent and easily misinterpreted.
Is
a will not or a will now?
The appropriately perjurative adjective just eludes me.
And I think we'll just have to suck it and see in 2006 and beyond, and see what they've delivered to us.
But there was a single sentence in the report that said the take-home wages of the lower end of the economic spectrum, basically, will now take home less.
Yes.
And Treasury are trying to claim
that it should have been a T.
Well, I actually think it's Costello's
putting a bit of leverage on there.
He wants it to be a T. He insists that that W...
He says that's a typographical error, and I will not stand beside it.
That's right. He's insisting, and I guess when Peter insists...
Look at the abacus. It's only
a single letter in a whole report.
Look at the war chest. Just don't worry about the T's and the W's. Look at the war chest.
One single W to a T. It's
all it takes. We're hip deep in tax money and we're going to spend it on military industrial...
For fuck's sake, change that W to a T now!
All right, sir. I'll get Mr. Tuttle on. Or was that Mr. Buttle you were after, sir?
Rebuttal.
A bit of rebuttal required there, Peter.
Exactly. So it's been a total fiasco, the IR legislation. Even Treasury says it's going to screw you. And
anyway.
That's it.
And in Queensland, Mr. Beattie's got the jump on the feds. They've been rather severe on a young woman who visited a prisoner and captured a little bit of conversation they had together and then wrote it up.
Oh, really?
Without seeking permission from the big knobs upstairs.
This one slipped past me, which is it?
Well, they've invoked some new security law thing in Queensland to bust this woman who... made a tape of a conversation she had with a prisoner that she went into interview.
Okay.
She's maybe some sort of... I'm not too sure whether it was... It was personal, but it ended up in general consumption.
So she hadn't got permission to tape him
or
what?
She hadn't got permission to interview a prisoner.
Oh, okay.
So,
full stop.
Yeah, that's it. And that's just one little flecks of the new empowerment.
Hey, speaking of prisoners and interviewing prisoners, have you ever heard of a place called Blackster? Not Baxter, but Blackster.
Nah.
Port Augusta, South Australia.
Archer.
Did you know anything about Port Augusta?
The camping ground.
Yes.
Yes, I did see that. That's in this wonderful magazine, the Courier News.
Yeah,
if
I saw
you want to get a grip
I
on
actually
it.
Saw a show of it on the television, which brought it very much to home.
The Courier News is a wonderful publication coming out of Lismore, right in the heart of Bundjalung country, but it has its feelers and feeders all over this wonderful
country. It does
country.
Indeed.
And if you want to find out how black politics and black sport and black society is feeling about stuff and doing stuff, you check out the Courier News.
Absolutely.
It comes out in our local district here, and it's well worth the $1.80.
And for those of you who aren't aware of the situation in Port Augusta, yeah, we have a situation where every Christmas time or every summer time, a lot of the desert people
come down to Port Augusta for a bit of ocean.
They come down to the ocean, and they've got family at the ocean. Not all of them have got family, mind you.
Many of them have family.
Some are merely drifting, but there is.
Some are doing an annual pilgrimage.
They say that there's probably 300 indigenous people live in Port Augusta, and another 600. To 900 arrive for the Christmas.
Yeah.
So it's a huge swelling of ranks.
And we once thought that Christmas was about repatriating and sitting with family and, catching up.
Unfortunately, the white folk, the good white folk of Port Augusta, especially their good white mayor who owns the local motel, whose name completely eludes me.
He doesn't like seeing all those bed and breakfasts slipping by in the long grass.
She's a big-haired old lady.
And
she's the mayor. She's been a mayor for quite a long while. They don't like the fact that when all these black brothers come down to the ocean for a bit of summertime holiday, that they like to have a few beers and they get a bit rowdy, as you can, and they tend to prefer drinking out in the open in the parklands. And
in their own company.
In their own company, along the foreshores, in their own company. And I think, by and large, the alcohol-fueled violence is probably meted out to their own company and their own family as well. It's a situation like
that.
That's another issue entirely. So they've developed this really clever strategy. They've banned the consumption of alcohol anywhere in town except inside a hotel or inside a building, a house. It's not allowed to happen in your tent, at a campground, or on the beach.
You can kill each other indoors, thanks. Just don't bring it onto the street where we can see it and intervene.
And then they've built themselves as well a campground for the indigenous travellers that are coming down. They've got this piece of totally, I saw the photos, mate, I saw the film, totally treeless dirt. It's a bit like Nauru and the detention centre on Nauru. That attitude.
Dust blown,
treeless dirt.
Tracked.
In the middle of this treeless dirt, they've stuck up these little gunyahs, these little.
Roofs without walls.
No, these are little canvas domes, mate. Not even nylon domes. Green canvas domes, the size of your normal dome tent.
Yep.
They're calling them little gunyahs for the people, right?
Well, with stretchers and mosquito nets and people who want to go that way, that's all right. But to sort of just say this is how it's done and not provide anything else.
And they can't quite explain what it's for.
Patronising at best.
Maybe it's to protect them from the dingoes or white fellas. They've put a 10-foot-tall wire topped with barbed wire and razor wire security fence around the entire campground. It's just, like I said, it's Blackster. That's what they were calling it.
And it's 3 km from town.
Of course it's 3 km
from
town.
No taxis, no buses,
no
water.
They did stick in a medical centre and a kitchen down there, but it's an internal kitchen. It's just this attempt to plaster white culture on what is pretty much
everything,
a nomadic existence.
Everything the federal government calls reconciliation smells like assimilation to the core. Yeah. I haven't seen a hint, a smidgen, a scintilla of genuine reconciliation process out of our hard government. And her fatuous musings from the fat woman up front in the department that supposedly serves our Indigenous people is shameful. Shameful.
Absolutely disgusting.
And not representative of any people with heart in this country who want to see things sorted the right way.
Unfortunately, there are a lot of people in this country that appear, especially people in positions of power, that appear not to have much heart. I see that Alan Jones was let off the hook.
And people with heart are dismissed and reviled for being soft or something.
Yes, or worse,
subversive.
Subversive
or potentially
hippie.
Terrorists.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
I hear that the big boys like Howard and Beasley and people like that have all come out very positively.
The big little boys.
Yeah, they've
in
all
their
come out
shiny
very
Italian suits.
Strongly behind Alan Jones and said that even though he might have delivered some boisterous comment, that he did not stir up the racist rumble that happened down at Cronulla.
Oh, no, they were doing that. No help from him.
He said and that Alan Jones had absolutely nothing to do with it.
Yeah, they're just agents provocateurs.
I like
a lot
that.
Of them.
I'd just like to play you a quick snippet. I might not even do the whole lot. It's just 3 minutes and 9 seconds. I don't know if we can even stand that long.
The ivory tower set, mate. They sit in the real ground with real people.
What we've got here is a collage of Alan Jones comments, both on and off air.
Well, this should be enlightening radio, Roberto.
Yeah, this is just a collage of the man who was not responsible
I'm
for trying to...
I'm on the edge of my seat.
Yeah,
I
can see that.
I'll just get ready.
Are you ready? This is a man who was not responsible for attempting to incite anything racially.
Word from on high, good folks.
So, Alan, what were you saying?
Now, though, here's Alan Jones. So pissed off and sick of his fucking country. Sick of his fucking country. Oh, fuck! And fucking Aborigines.
Just sense in my life should be turned into a fucking nightmare for the sake of other incompetence.
And fucking Aborigines.
Sick and stuff up my bloody nose and my arse.
Jesus,
I hope someone understands how fucking irritated I am by this.
So pissed off.
Fucking money for charity.
Right.
Oh. Fuck this.
I'm Alan Jones.
Well,
I think that'll do. I don't even... It goes for 3 minutes, and I'm sure that we could all...
Very colourful,
nice.
Bigoted language, Alan. Thank you very much.
Nice work, Alan. You're a champion.
It makes us look like sweet boys.
I just enjoyed that little snippet.
Oh, that's what they're missing out on. Right. We're in the life splatters department here, not in the life matters department, nor in the Alan Jones sell your soul for...
That man carries on like that 5 days a week.
Country.
You know?
Yeah.
I was so fucking pissed off, and you fucking this, and you fuck... Christ... I mean, yep. we take people's shows off the air if they behave like that over here.
Yeah, we're not into that sort of level of personal abuse and diatribe full of invective.
Yeah, it's fascinating that seems to be the only weapon he has to keep people's interest in him. Fat little poof.
We just like to stitch him up with a bit of satire and left-field commentary.
Oh.
It's too easy.
It's just
too easy. They're like
just such a
dinosaurs wondering where all the butterflies suddenly appeared from. As they sink into the swamp of their own creation.
Yes indeed.
Butterflies are free, baby.
Butterflies are free.
Can't buy them.
No.
They come when they want.
Speaking of which, I've noticed just of late a couple of butterflies that I actually haven't noticed in the last 30 odd years.
It's been a wonderful springtime for the butterfly.
I'm wondering
if
it's been some sort of... If it just hasn't been around because it's...
I've seen some of those rare and endangered Richmond birdwings this season.
Yeah, I think that's what it was. It was a rather large one.
If people keep planting that vine, that's what'll happen. We'll have more of them around. There's a particular native vine that... is available in alternative thinking greenery places.
Yeah.
And you ask for the vine that the Richmond River birdwing butterfly subsists on and lays its eggs and
got a bit happening out of home I don't even know about.
I can't remember the scientific name. I'm not good with things like that.
I don't retain details.
But I know that if you have a bush garden or a bit of ground near the big scrub forest remnants or regrowth parts, you can plant this vine in the remnant or in your backyard, and within a season or three, they're one of the most glorious butterflies ever to flap this earth.
Yeah.
Will come cruising and say g'day to you.
Hello.
And it's one of the more awesome things you'll witness in this life, to see a Richmond River bird wing in full flight in your garden.
It will indeed. And this little butterfly will flutter up
to some areas of our remnant rainforest. You can go bushwalking this time of year carefully when watching out for the reptiles, which are also alive and well and rolling around underneath.
They certainly are.
There's plenty of that going on out there too, but the butterflies this season have been very spectacular.
Okay. I wasn't aware that other people were experiencing the same abundance.
Oh, yeah, everything's busy this time of year, Bob.
And if you're really quiet, guys, if you sit down and you sit there and you listen really hard when that butterfly is just fluttering around your head, you can actually hear next year's hurricane starting.
I went out to let the chookies out of their python-proof overnight domicile.
Python-proof.
And there was a rough-scale sipping water from their trough. That was my morning. Yeah. At night, you have to worry about carpet snakes. And in the daytime, goannas and rough scales and all those sort of fellas. They're all intrigued by the meals that they can't have. It's one of the hazards of maintaining chooks or rodents of any sort, guinea pigs, rabbits, all that. They do draw a fair bit of attention from the predators of the nation.
They certainly do.
And you've got to be prepared for that. Yeah.
Dream and give me a scene where you have a past of which you are clean. Oh, give me a lie. Tell me you fail cause of my grace and not to help you erase her face. No, make it your best lie. Cause I'm holding up a crystal glass and up in my hands, and if it does fall, you do fall, it's my fault. I don't wanna be with one more casualty. If I end this, you'll be fine. No, tell me a lie. Just look at me and say honestly that I'm all you want, not what you need. No, make it your best lie. Cause I'm holding up a crystal glass, dab in my hands, and if you do, it's been too long since I've looked after me.